Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Interview. I'm Catherine Rose, and joining me in the studio are Sarah Gibson, the Sitka Fellows Facilitator, and Mira McCammon. She's a freelance journalist, and the first Sitka Fellow we'll be speaking to, and over the next month and a half, we'll be speaking to all six Sitka Fellows for a morning interview. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning? Thank you for joining me.
We're great. We're really excited to be here.
Yeah.
And Sarah, first, can you give our listeners a little background on the Sitka Fellows program and tell us what it's all about?
Sure. So the Sitka Fellows program has been around for about 5 years now. It was started by Jonathan Christ Tompkins and a bunch of other young folks who wanted to give artists and thinkers under the age of 30 a space and time and support to work on a project for the summer. So every year, about six people come to Sitka for the summer. We live at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp. They're given studio space and room and board and basically a ton of time to work on a project they've proposed to the admissions committee earlier in the year. So we have six amazing artists who are working on a variety of projects, illustration, comic books, really interesting radio projects, plays, you name it. And so we just arrived, we're settling in, and we're here until the end of August. And we'll be over at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, but you'll probably see us wandering through Sitka as well.
And Mira, can you tell me a little bit about what you do? You're an investigative journalist, is that right?
Yeah. I have spent the past 2.5 years working on a series of projects related to the detention facilities at Guantanamo Bay. And last June, which I guess is last month, I was able to finally go there and work on a series of pieces for Vice. So part of why I'm here at Sitka is to sort of take a step back from all of that work and think about some of the lessons that I've learned along the way, lessons that we can pass on to other freelance journalists who might not have the institutional support of big media companies, but who want to go there as well.
Right. And because you told me that initially when you were interested in Guantanamo Bay, you contacted them and they said, well, we only let journalists in. So can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, of course. So I received my master's from the University of Massachusetts Amherst out in the woods in western Massachusetts. And I wrote my master's thesis on the stories that have been written and really the history behind the Guantanamo Bay Detainee Library. A lot of people don't know that the U.S. government created and maintains this this library for individuals that are held at Gitmo. And, you know, as a millennial and someone who had gone to many, many libraries in my time, I sort of assumed that as a woman with an academic interest in a library, I'd be able to write up the U.S. government and say, hey, I'd like to just drop by and see your very lovely library. Would that be okay? And the Joint Task Force, which is the entity that manages the detention facilities, kindly wrote me back and said, ma'am, we only let journalists in. And I sort of said, oh, no, I guess I have to become a journalist now. So that's what got me started on this process.
And you've already written some stories about Guantanamo Bay. In particular, I think you said you wrote about the fiber optic cable that improved internet access.
Yeah, I'm really interested more broadly in information access in spaces that are isolated. And so for a long time, there was not good internet access at Gitmo, which, as you can imagine, made life there challenging for really everyone who went there, not just people stationed there, but also lawyers representing detainees, and of course, journalists who were trying to go and keep in touch with their editors or keep in touch with loved ones back home. And so I previously worked at the Harvard Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society and kind of developed an interest there in internet policy and was able to pick up this crazy book called The Submarine Cable Law Handbook. So I got really interested in the fiber optic cables that run underneath the sea that give us internet, and was able to write about the particular fiber optic cable that gives Gitmo improved internet.
And you said you also wrote about the post office or are working on something about the post office, which interests you.
Yeah, I love post offices. I've already like found where the post office is in Sitka, and I'm most excited to use it. But yeah, I think what was most interesting to me was seeing that, you know, there at Gitmo, there is a fire station. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, you can go to the grocery store and buy M&Ms. You know, you can go to this post office and pick up your JFK stamps and send mail to the U.S., except, you know, there's also the weird thing about the post office at Gitmo is that it looks like a post office that you'd see anywhere in the United States. The U.S. Postal Service actually provides the same materials, but the people who are staffing it are not U.S. Post Service employees. In many cases, it's spouses of people who are stationed there. Mm-hmm. The Army is actually involved in distributing mail. And that was just like such a weird metaphor to me that like on the surface, everything looks the same. But mm-hmm. if you dive deeper, you see that it's actually quite complicated. Yeah.
And you have recently been FOIAing a lot of government agencies, right, in regards to some tweeting that occurred. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So last August, I got really interested in the Joint Task Force. And again, the Joint Task Force is the entity that maintains the detention facilities. Mm-hmm. And they run their own Twitter feed. And I noticed that in April 2016, there were this series of tweets that were essentially aphorisms, like quotes by Churchill, Emily Dickinson. And I just was like, wow, someone had fun with this, and I started retweeting it. And incidentally, I kind of was keeping track of this Twitter feed, and I noted that the number of tweets on the feed was steadily decreasing, and someone was starting to delete the tweets. And this was, of course, before Trump was elected, and a mm-hmm. series of other Twitter feeds started having a few deletion episodes. And so I got really interested in that. And now I'm in the process of filing Freedom of Information Act requests with all federal agencies, which is all federal agencies that have a Twitter feed, that is, to ask them for records of their deleted tweets. Many agencies are unaware that Twitter actually really holds on to, I mean, Twitter is in control right. of these Twitter feeds. Mm-hmm. There's not some sub-agency in the U.S. government that, I mean, there is an archive, but they're not in cahoots with Twitter. And so it's been really fun to have conversations with different federal agencies and their record staff management officers about, you know, are they holding on to deleted tweets, but also, like, are they drafting their tweets beforehand on email? Mm-hmm. Are they saving those emails? This sounds like really boring, but it's really fun to uh-huh. talk to different agencies and just see how different policies are in place to try to protect records mm-hmm. or which agencies just have no policies whatsoever.
Right. I'm guessing it's not incredibly streamlined or similar across
no,
the board.
No, it's not. And so it's just like fun to have those conversations with these government employees. And some of them are like, thank you for filing this request. Now we're going to improve our archiving system. And some of them send me like 300 pages of PDF files, which I also appreciate. You know, I like the range.
So that leads into kind of what you're doing next week, which is a workshop for Sitkins, a free workshop that's on Thursday, the 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I'm titling the workshop, I Want These Documents and I Want Them Now, Government Transparency for Sitkins. And
such a great title.
I had fun with it. And I'm hoping that we'll have fun next week. I have filed so many Freedom of Information Act requests. And in the process, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've also learned a lot about how to get information from the government, mm-hmm. Information that you want, and specifically documents. But it can be really tricky and thorny. And no one really, when I was little, taught me how to do it. So mm-hmm. I've relied on a network of very talented journalists to sort of guide me along the way. And so the goal of the workshop is sort of to say to Sitkins, you don't have to be a journalist to file FOIA requests. And it can actually be a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that folks will come out. I'll talk a little bit about some of the FOIA requests that I've done related to Gitmo, mm-hmm. And some weird things that have turned up in the process. And then I'll also kind of talk about some cool FOIA requests that others have done in Alaska. I'm just starting to file FOIA requests related to Alaska. So I'm really excited to see what I'm going to turn up. And then we'll just go from there.
All right. Well, you know, I know a few investigative journalists whose brains are always whirring, and it seems like, you know, the work you're doing is kind of intense and very information and research heavy. So are you going to get the chance to turn off your brain a little bit this summer and enjoy Sitka?
Yeah, I'm really excited to find the local donut shop. I was told that there was one, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I try to walk like 6 to 10 miles a day, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited to just like walk around and forget that my computer exists and talk to local Sitkans about, you know, everything involving, especially just like how they access information, right? Like the role of local radio, which right. is so cool, you know, and just how ideas get to Sitka and how ideas grow and morph in this really remarkable and also small community. That's mm-hmm. that's a really special thing, something I'm looking forward to probing.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Mira McCammon and Sarah Gibson of the Sitka Fellows Program. And Mira will be teaching a workshop this next Thursday night, the 27th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Sitka Fine Arts Campus, called I Want These Documents and I Want Them Now, Government Transparency for Sitkans. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks.